Let's take our Bibles and look together in Luke chapter 5 once again. And my text is from verse 8 to verse 11. Luke 5, 8 to 11.
Tadenti tsegulani mabaibulo atu ntsiku lalero ndipo lero litikalapo tikupitirizanso uthenga omwe tinayamba nthawi ya kumbuyo iyi kuchokera mbuku la Luka chapter 5 kuyambira verse yake ya 8 kufika pa 11.
The last time we were considering verses 1 through 7, how the Lord worked a miracle in causing a great number of fish to be brought in to the nets, to the point where the boats began to sink. And our Lord used this as an example of how he would cause his disciples to become catchers of men, fishers of men for the kingdom. But in this message, in verses 8 through 11, I want to focus on how the Lord humbled Peter and ultimately the other disciples in preparation for the work of the kingdom. Here we see what it is to be a follower of Christ. So that's the title of this message, Following Christ. The word disciple means to be a learner of Christ, someone that is a student of Christ, that follows Christ. But you can't follow somebody you don't know. Yesterday, there are many that call themselves disciples of Christ or followers of Christ, but we have to ask the question, which Christ? Unless the Lord Jesus Christ himself has revealed himself in a sinner, that sinner can never be a follower of Christ. Let's read these verses here together in verses 8 through 11 of Luke 5. It says in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
In
verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, that the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, verse 11, they forsook all and followed him. So here we have in the Gospel of Luke an example of how it was that the Lord Jesus was pleased to reveal himself in not only Simon Peter, but also his brother Andrew, and then James and John, these four.
Ndiyo abatikuona mbuku la Luka chithunzi chabwino chimene Ambuye Yesu anachionesa pamapo dzivumbulusa yekha kudzionetsera yekha mphamvu zake osati kwa Petro yekha ayi komanso kwa Yakobo ndi Yohane.
Now one of the questions that people like to ask is when were the disciples converted? Was this their conversion? The answer is we don't know. If you look in John chapter 1 and verses 40 and 42, both Peter and Andrew had already had an encounter with the Lord. If you go up to verse 37 of John 1, it says that two of the disciples of John heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. What did they hear John speak? Verse 36 tells us that looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." So this was the message of John the Baptist, to look to Christ Jesus as the Lamb of God, as that one who would come and pay the sin debt of his people. And you can see in verse 38, Jesus turned and saw them following. So they were physically following him at this point, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" So we can see here that at this point, the Lord had given these a curiosity concerning Christ, who he is. And they sought to know more. And the Lord said to them, look at verse 39, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. The 10th hour would be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, counting from 6 in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now verse 40 tells us one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Peter and Andrew were partners in their shipping business, in their fishing business. So here in Luke chapter 5, this was not their first encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 41 that he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, that is Peter, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone.
And
so here in Luke chapter 5, when the Lord came to these two men, and also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, so there are four of them, this was not their first encounter. But if you were to ask me at what point were they converted, the Bible does not tell us. What is important is that we know that these were men upon whom God had set his affection from eternity and that now would be pleased to call to the Lord Jesus Christ and for whom Christ would pay their sin debt. That's what's important. I want to give us a warning here because many of us might be thinking, well, at what point did the Spirit of God begin that work of grace in me? How do I know? But I would say that is not something that God has revealed in us because the Spirit of God is working in His elect in a mysterious way. The better question to ask is not when did the Spirit begin that work in me, but to whom has the Spirit of God brought me as a sinner? I know this, that if He has brought me to the Christ of Scripture, then all the glory belongs to Him. Remember what the Lord said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." What I know is that any that God has chosen from eternity and for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came to pay their sin debt, the Spirit of God will indeed call to Christ and give them that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the way the Apostle Paul directed this word in Philippians, the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." We may not know when the Spirit of God actually began that good work of grace in the heart, but we know this, that the work which He has begun, He will perform. So the question to ask is not, well, when did that work begin, but rather, to whom has the Spirit of God drawn this heart? Is it to the Lord Jesus Christ? If it is, that's the good work of the Spirit. But I want to get back to my text here in Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, and talk with you about what it is then to follow Christ. And the first thing I would note here in my text is that it begins with being humbled at Christ's feet. Here in verse 8 of Luke 5, it says, "When Simon Peter saw what? Saw the miraculous work of the Lord Jesus Christ, even over the fishes, it brought him to his knees."
Now,
Peter had already seen the miraculous work of Christ in healing his mother-in-law.
Ndiyo Petro sikuti kanali kuyamba kuona chozizwa ichai. Anali akaona apo kale chozizwa cha dzanja la Yesu pamene anali kuchilisa ana chilisa kwa Yesu mpongozi wake wa Petro.
In the previous chapter in Luke chapter 4 in verses 38 and 39 we read about how the Lord healed Peter's mother-in-law.
Tifati kamaona verse ya chapter ya 4 za buku la Luka hii. Kuyambira mutina yake ya 38 kufika pa 35 tiona kunena 38 kufika pa sipotika kunena kuti anali kuchilisa Yesu Kristo anali kuchilisa mpongozi wake wa Petro.
Luke 4:38, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. In verse 39, he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So here we see that this was not Peter's first encounter with the Lord, nor seen his miraculous work. Yet here, with the fish being caught, the Lord purposed that it should so smite Peter's heart that it would bring him to Christ's feet. I liken this to how many times we read the scriptures and we see the Lord in all of his glory, and yet there are times when God is pleased to so deal in our heart that when we see him and the Spirit so works, it brings us to throw ourselves at Christ's feet and truly worship him. In fact, that's the meaning here when it says in Luke 5:8 that he fell down at Jesus' knees. The meaning is that he bowed and worshiped him. I will tell you that there are none that can say that they've been brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and unless they've been brought to his feet to bow to him as Lord of all. In fact, that's the word that Peter uses there in verse 8, where he says to the Lord Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." There are many today that say that they're following Jesus. That's the term they use. And yet have never been brought to bow to him as the sovereign Lord of all. In fact, they think that they're disciples of Jesus because they made the decision to follow him.
Leo amaganiza kunena kuti iwo ndopfunzira Yesu chifana panga chisango chomusajira iye.
Those are not followers of Christ.
Kumato amene usindiye usajira Christ kwai.
I don't know whether you have that song in your language or not, but when I was growing up, we used to sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. That's what we were taught. It was our decision. If you've been accustomed to singing that, it's time to stop it. Because those that follow Christ are drawn by His grace and His Spirit to Him. It's not their decision, it's the Lord's. So that's the first thing about following Christ. It begins with the Lord humbling us at His feet to worship Him for who He is as Lord and God. But the second characteristic of following Christ we see here in this verse 8 as well, and that is to confess our sinfulness before Him. You can see Peter's first response there in verse 8 was that the Lord should depart from him. And the reason given, he says, for I am a sinful man. Why would Peter ask that the Lord depart from him? It's because at this particular moment, Peter saw himself as unworthy of any grace or glory that the Lord Jesus Christ might bring to him. How different is Peter's response here from those today that say that they're following Jesus, and rather than see their sinfulness and unworthiness, they boast of how it is they're following Him. One of the first things that I listen for when people are telling me that they're followers of Jesus is whether or not they have ever been lost. Whether or not they've ever seen their lost estate before God. To be lost means that there's no way back. You cannot find your way back. Notice how Peter put it here. He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He didn't say here, Lord, I have done great sins. He said, no, I am in my being. I am a sinful man. There are many today that say that they've confessed their sins to God, but that's not the same thing as saying they've confessed their sinfulness to God. I know when the Lord began to deal in my own heart, even though I thought I had known him to that point, it was in Isaiah chapter 6 that the Lord brought his word home to me. When Isaiah had seen the Lord high and lifted up, and in verse 3 it says that the seraphim cried unto one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." For Peter here to declare himself to be a sinful man, it must be that the Lord so opened his eyes that he saw in Christ that holiness and that righteousness which he did not have. And here's what Isaiah cried in verse 5. Isaiah 6:5, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So here we see that characteristic of any that the Lord has brought to be humbled at his feet. They own their sinfulness before him. It's not just that I have sinned, but I am the sinner. This is like the publican in the temple as well, that could not even look heavenward, but beat his breast and cried, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." When Peter said to the Lord, there, coming back to my text in Luke 5:8, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man," he was in wonderment as to how it was that the Lord could have anything to do with him, the
sinner.
I believe this is how the Lord even today deals with sinners that he is drawing to himself. He shows them their sinfulness, and they're in wonderment that Christ should even be pleased to save them. But this is what the Apostle Paul said is a faithful saying when he wrote to Timothy, that Jesus Christ is come into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Notice, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he says there, notice, he doesn't say of whom I was chief, but even at this point, he says of whom I am chief. And look what he says in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 1. Howbeit, for this cause, what? I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. So when Peter was confessing himself here to be a sinful man, he was confessing that he was spiritually bankrupt. He had nothing in him that could commend him to the Lord. That's what it is to confess Christ, that we have nothing, but in him is that mercy, in him is that grace, in his death is that pardon from sin that God has ordained for his people. But now, coming back here to my text in Luke 5, here is a third quality of those who follow Christ. And this we find in verse 9 and
10.
And that is the fear of the Lord. Where God has been pleased to draw sinners to Christ, there is the fear of the Lord. When it says there in verse 9, for he was astonished, that word astonished means overcome, overwhelmed with fear. This is the great difference, I believe, between a true work of the Lord in the heart of a sinner and what is popularly called today conversion or salvation. People today are making their profession to follow Jesus, and yet they've never been taught the fear of God. Hear this word astonished. Has that word fear so overcome that he knew himself to be sinful, that if God had purposed to condemn him, he would be just in doing so. Today, preachers are calling on people to raise their hand or bow their head or say a prayer to come to Jesus who have never known the fear of God. In fact, they're made to believe that they're doing God a favor in deciding for Jesus. But here, we know that when the Lord is pleased to begin a work of grace in the heart, there is that fear of the Lord, the fear of knowing that He's sovereign, and that He's holy, and that He's just, and that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Over in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, we find that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says there in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What that means is that when the Spirit of God is pleased to begin a work of grace in the heart of a sinner, it begins with the fear of the Lord. Peter here in Luke 5 was so overcome with the presence of the Lord in what he had seen that he saw himself as totally unworthy of being in his presence. And so it is with any that the Lord has taught. They acknowledge their sinfulness. They acknowledge that the Lord alone has the right to save them or condemn them, and they bow in fear. Even the Apostle John, who had laid his head on Jesus' bosom when he was on earth, when the Lord revealed himself to him after he had ascended into heaven, John fell at his feet as dead.
Ambuye su ata uka kwa kufa, ndikudzivumbulusa
Over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. Notice, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, verse 18, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have what? The keys of hell and of death. So again, this is not a one-time experience, that whenever the Lord reveals himself in us and through us, we are brought low at his feet in wonderment and in fear, knowing that we deserve nothing but condemnation. But just as the Lord told John, fear not, coming back here to my text in Luke 5, you'll see that that's exactly what he said, not only to Peter, but to Andrew and to James and John who were with him. Fear not. You see, in verse 9, it wasn't just Peter that was astonished. It says, and all that were with him. So the Lord was dealing at the same time with these others. And you can see there in verse 10, he says, fear not. Oh, what blessed words those are. When the Lord is pleased to deal with us in grace, that he causes us now to rest in him. The way that that word fear not is written in the ancient Greek is literally stop being fearful. It takes the Lord to give us peace of heart as to who he is. And it's from there that he says to them that he will make them fishers of men, that they will catch men. But first, he had to be revealed in them. That word catch men there in verse 10 literally means to catch something alive. That is, any that they would draw, the Lord would use to draw to Christ would be brought alive, because of the Spirit of God giving them life in Christ. Now the fourth and final quality of those that follow Christ, we find here in verse 11, that when they had brought their ships to land, it says they forsook all and followed him. The implication here is that they didn't even take time to go home and clean the fish, that they left everything, the boats, the nets, the fish, and they followed Christ. You see, if any are followers of a Christ, then he is all to them. They renounce themselves, anything pertaining to their own will, their works, we have none. They follow Christ. These were untrained and uneducated men as far as the world was concerned, and yet Christ being revealed in them, they followed him. That's all that they needed. It's this work of grace that separates any of us out from this world. Why is it that we believe on this Christ and follow him? It's because of his grace, of his work in us. And the sense here is that they continued to follow him, even through much opposition and hatred of the world. It was the Lord keeping them. He had come into the world for that reason, to pay their sin debt and to bring them to himself and therefore keep them all the way through this life and on into eternity. To be a disciple means to be a follower. It means to be a learner. And that is who we are for the Lord throughout our lifetime because of his grace. Well, I pray that the Lord will make this a blessing to us who are the Lord's, to see how it is the Lord has mercifully dealt with us and how it is that he has made us to be followers of him.
Amen.